Welcome again to Ume Share Podcast, the podcast where men share openly. Karibu sana.
Thank you.
Pastor Zef.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, we talked about the challenges. And for me, I'm thinking there are these triggers that one should be able to look out for. Because the question still remains, how do I know I'm in a midlife crisis? How do I know? And you've already alluded to it, especially the big thing about being a wounded warrior and you going for Man Enough, which is a program that helps men heal, go through that healing, and the Crucible Project, which you and I have done together, that deals with anger issues and all these emotions that we battle with and having self-control over them. You've also talked about the whole thing of affection and affirmation, the acceptance that people may not have received at an early age. And then, boom, midlife, it escalates these gaps, and you end up now people leading to that depressive state. But I've also heard, and this is probably from Reverend John Gishinga's thesis. He did a whole study. Can you imagine a whole thesis about midlife crisis?
Wow.
For this part of, for people, for men in this part of the world, in East Africa, Kenya. And you can check it out. It's out there in the internet. And one of the things that he talks about as triggers is spiritual challenges. So for people probably who are toiling with this whole issue of, I've been trying and I'm struggling, I've been praying for this and that, and the answers are not coming. Who is this God I'm praying to? How come I'm not getting the answers I'm getting? For the last 30 so years, this has been my desire, my wish list. And you start now questioning your faith.
Exactly.
You mentioned about religion. So probably people may sway and go different, or someone will just say, God, me have dropped. I've dropped that that aspect of God, and you may drop. And they start living a different life altogether. So someone who was a church goer all of a sudden stops going to church in their midlife season.
And a lot of them do, by the way.
Yeah, or they plug in into a different religion or church. And then these marital challenges. So you mentioned your adorable wife who's so busy in her 40s.
Yes, she's thriving.
She's thriving. I've spoken to 2, 3, 4 other men. Even around me, my wife's friends, my wife, I can see their changes when they turn 40. There's this whole self-awareness. There's this whole thing about it's a go-getter kind of spirit. Many of them are beginning to super-achieve their corporate ladders. They're going up the corporate ladder. Many of them are becoming CEOs, doing multiple things. And they're doing life, and they're actually thriving. And that puts pressure on the man to provide, especially when maybe in your workspace things are not going the way they're going. There could be even issues to do with your own self. Your own body is changing. You're not as, I mean, you've alluded to this before, as sexually active. Your libido has actually gone down. Your testosterone levels are dipping. While your wife's her libido is increasing. Meaning she's more demanding of sex, more than you. And men's greatest fears is being able to go through that season and you're not able to satisfy your wife
sexually. That's an identity crisis.
That's an identity crisis in itself. That's a whole new chapter. And then there are things to do with just self-image. You know, you mentioned now that you have more visceral fat, you're doing exercise, your muscles are drooping, you're having man boobs, you're stooping, you're balding, white hair, teeth, some teeth are already crooked, wrinkles are coming. You're not as the attractive six-pack black, tall, dark, and handsome man that you used to be. So some self-esteem issues start seeping in. And another big thing that John Gishinga talks about is loss. Loss of parents. It elicits some certain emotions in you, or some certain, and I think we'll go back to that thing of identity. So your dad or your mom passes on, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm next in line.
Yeah,
there's no one else I'm looking up to. This of sort of a covering, especially for men, that covering of a father is no longer there.
Yeah.
And if you're not secure in God, you start looking at yourself as, hey, I'm the solution. All these things, are you able to identify with them? Do you see them in your line of work?
Yes.
And can you connect and resonate with them?
Let me just touch on the three things that I talked about, the masks. They are not completely bad. It depends on what you are, the need you're meeting. And that's why the place of awareness is important.
Okay.
So that you're aware, I am in need of affection. So if you're in need of affection, how do you mitigate that need? So find out safe things to be able to do in terms of performance that will help you be able to receive affection, receive acceptance, receive affirmation. Like the identity groups that I talked about. It's a space where you can share with the men and tell them, this is how I'm feeling. And the men begin now to just affirm you for who you are. They probably know you a little bit, and it's a safe space for you to receive affirmation.
Affirmation, those identity groups.
Yes. Because they call out the good in you. Because all a man... The ego needs to be to be pampered.
Pampered, massaged a bit.
That's why men go to the bars and places, and girls.
Massage parlors.
Yes, a massage parlors.
They would massage those egos physically.
Yeah, so so there's no harm in having groups where you know you can find a safe space where it will not lead you into addiction. And in terms of addictions, when you're aware that this is what is leading me, this is what I actually need.
Yeah,
it is just a mask. The alcohol that you're addicted to is a mask, and I'm meeting a need that is deeper. What is that need? And so you begin to look for ways and means to be able to meet that need. If it is religion, the religion is not the solution, but it is a relationship.
It's a relationship.
It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, with your Maker. The reason why religion becomes bad, it is because religion demands certain things, that you do certain things in order to get a higher power. But a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're actually at a point of receiving. You receive love, you receive affection, you receive acceptance, you receive access, because it's a relationship.
It's a relationship, yeah.
It's not religion. Religion tells you pray more. Religion tells you read the Bible more. Religion tells you go to church, serve.
Yes.
But a relationship says, I belong. I belong. And if I belong, you see, when you know that this is your home, you will do what needs to be done.
This
is mine.
Exactly.
If I am an heir, I know that all this is mine. And so I will do what needs to be done in order to fulfill my so the relationship is very key. All the triggers that you have just talked about, and the referring to the things, it's for you to know what are the triggers that lead me towards these masks. And also that lead you to depression. And then begin to look for them in the right places.
In the right places.
Within an identity group.
Yes.
Some people that you can call and even tell them, this is what I am thinking. This is what I am doing. I would like you to speak into this. And they will speak into that. Yeah. So I've talked a bit of that in the book.
Okay.
A lot of these things.
And
the various stages and what each stage needs. And so you can always refer.
We'll actually tell the listeners where we'll direct them to how to find your book. Is it also online?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon Kindle.
Yes.
You know, I'm really proud of you, by the way. You've done a good job just writing this beautiful book.
Thank you.
I aspire to be like you. Yeah, where one day you can say like this comedian, Professor Hamo, in my book, I have actually written this wisdom. So I like this. At the back of the book, it says, there has been a deep longing for unconditional affection, acceptance, affirmation, and access. We spoke about that in our early episode. Mm. That my biological father did not satisfy, even when he came into my life at age 17.
Mm.
And I think maybe we can just spend some time just talking about two other men out there. We are going through this midlife season. And if you've not been shown affection very well, acceptance, affirmation, access, especially for men, then it can escalate or catalyze this crisis in your midlife season.
Yeah, yes.
And a crisis that can lead to depression and to worse states like even death.
Mm.
So I would just like to know from you, Zef, maybe just to summarize for us as we come to a close. Is it possible to thrive during this season of midlife? Is it possible to emerge out and say, just as much as you may not see it coming and it comes and it goes, have you dealt with men, maybe older men or men your age or yourself, where you can say, I am actually navigating out of this season successfully?
Well, yeah, I believe where I am, I'm at a very good place, personally.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is that I am aware of where I am. Mm. I'm aware of my triggers. I'm aware of my wounds. Mm. I'm aware of my shadows. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of how I have developed coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
That cover the shame, the guilt, the anger that I have received over the years.
Yeah.
And I am on a journey of healing because it's a journey.
Yeah.
You never completely get over it.
Mm.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
And what I've heard even from most of the men who are even older is that it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because every stage is a new season.
Yeah.
I think the best thing is to learn how to manage transitions because there are transitions in every stage of life, in every season. There are transitions that happen even when tragedy happens, when you lose a job, when you lose a loved one. There are tragedies like you lose a home. Or you lose part of your body, you become incapacitated.
Yeah.
It's a transition.
Yes.
So the thing is for you to learn how to manage those transitions.
Mm.
But most important, and I repeat, is knowing who you are.
Knowing who you are.
When you know who you are, it doesn't matter what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
You will navigate through to come out as you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will do you at every stage.
Mm.
So,
and whether you grew up with a father who was affirming you.
Yes.
Or not.
Yes.
You'll be able to navigate that season.
Yeah, and that comes by awareness. I mean, like for me, you have just read from that. I knew my father when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed most of my childhood blessing. I call it the blessing of affirmation, acceptance, access with my father.
Okay.
So I knew him when I was already, at 17, I've already formed values.
Mm-hmm.
So we even
almost
had...
Almost getting an ID.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we even had a lot of battles when I was joining him because I was trying to, he was trying to compensate for the lost time that he had.
Yes.
And I was trying to resist. Where have you been? So we were in a tug of war.
And you tell that story in the book.
Yes, I talk about that.
Thank you for this copy. I'll start reading it immediately and soaking into that story.
Yeah, but most important is when now I had a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm.
In fact, for 20 years I was looking for who I was in Jesus.
Mm.
But I only got a full picture when I was 40.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a time I actually got my real identity.
Yeah.
For 20 years, I was still navigating, finding out, trying religion. It was basically religion, if I may look at it that way. Yeah. I had a glimpses of here and relationship. Mm. But at 40, when I started Man Enough, then I went for another another retreat that helped me just clarify my identity as a son of God.
Yes.
That was my turning point.
Mm.
And then when I attended the Crucible Project, it was a huge, huge turning point.
Mm. Mm.
That's when my healing began completely.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping to possibly do Crucible with you next year. Maybe in the US, in Colorado.
Yes.
We'll probably be doing a mission and purpose. I don't know why we are getting ourselves into this. And that's something I'm hearing clearly from you. The purpose.
Yes.
That man's purpose gives him an identity.
Yes.
It's actually
identity that gives you purpose.
It's identity that gives you purpose.
Yes.
Thank you for, I was cutting it the other way around. So that identity gives you purpose. So it's so interesting that from an early age that someone's identity can actually be misplaced or darkened in their midlife. So it almost gives the men who are listening to this podcast, and the women as well, who are in their midlife, kind of a new lease of life, and just to realize that even for your children, what are we doing today? What seeds are we planting to ensure that we give them an identity that will last beyond even your life as a parent? And one of the things that I'm discovering is that if you didn't have a good identity, if you didn't have a good upbringing, and you know, you didn't have a good relationship with your father, your earthly father, it almost seems like it can escalate or catalyze a crisis in your midlife that may go for a very long time without being resolved, unless you're aware of it, as you say. There are people who may not have grown with fathers, and the opportunity is there's an identity in Christ and God the Father.
Yes.
Who is able to give you that satisfaction that you're looking for, that fulfillment and that meaning in life. And that is an opportunity that we can give our kids as they are young,
you
know, just to be able to direct them or point them to Jesus. Because the older they become, when they have not been pointed to Christ, when they reach their midlife season, it's very easy for them to be swayed away from that identity because of the pressures and also these triggers that may come to disrupt them. And many people get lost at that particular age. So I'm learning from you, Zephaniah, that we actually need to be very intentional in our parenting.
Yes.
Because these things go back.
Yes. I've actually talked about it in the book as well. How you raise the younger people.
How you raise the younger people.
Because you need to give them an identity. You need to remind them constantly who they are.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I attempt to do for my family.
And
maybe initially, just to forewarn you, it may look like religion for them because they are probably just copying. They are probably just imitating. But it's something that you need to constantly follow up and just remind them who they are. And I think our Kenyan context, I don't know whether it's an African thing as well and maybe worldwide, we put our children under so much pressure to perform until that becomes now the identity they pick up. And we want them to pass exams, to look good, do well in their sports and all that. What you're actually doing, you're fueling a wrong identity. It's good to have all those accolades, but the best is usually to affirm them of who they really are.
Yeah, who they really are.
Yes.
Amazing. You know, I feel lighter. I feel more educated. I feel wiser speaking to you, Zephaniah, Ananda. I've always been used to calling you Zeph, but I just love the full name, Zephaniah. Yeah. It sounds nice, and you say that name means protector.
God is my protector.
God is your protector. May God protect you.
Amen.
In all seasons of your life. May this book sell many copies. I'll actually really just market it. I'll start reading it tonight when I go home. But one of the things that I have enjoyed just having this session of midlife with you is that midlife doesn't have to be disastrous.
No, it doesn't.
It will be tough.
Yes.
No one promises it's going to be easy. Again, it doesn't have to be a crisis that you loom into and you're not able to get out of. There's hope.
Yes.
There's hope and there's light.
Mm.
And the last thing is that the identity and that awareness, the identity and these identity groups is a challenge that you've given us. That's the one thing I'm walking away with. Asking myself, who am I going to incorporate in that identity group? Because the accountability groups, they are there, but sometimes they just don't work. I want someone to hold me accountable of my identity inside that identity group, where they can ask me, Kevo, I thought this is who you said you are. These are the things that define, this is the purpose. These are the things that define your purpose because of what you've told us about who you are and you're veering off. Or are you sure about this extramarital affair that could be looming around you? Are you sure about this change of career? Are you sure about the way you're parenting your children? You're seeing you're not going home spending time with your children. That identity group is such a good send off and a good clincher for this conversation. Final thoughts.
Well, I believe the most important thing of all this is that when you have your Savior and His Spirit walking with you through these seasons, because He's the one who is omnipotent, will give you the power to be able to overcome every obstacle. He is the one who is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the future. He knows the past. And He will take you. He is able to take you to the wounded part of your past. And He will heal you when you allow Him to do that. Because He is omniscient. He is also omnipresent. He is everywhere with you. Even your identity group may not be with you everywhere.
True.
But Jesus Christ, His Spirit, the Father, will be with you. And I think that would be my parting shot.
Okay.
That a relationship, not religion, a relationship with your Heavenly Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the best gift that you can ever receive and be with. Through your life, not just in the midlife, but throughout your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, now allow me to call you Pastor Zeph, because that's sounded like the pastor in you.
Yes.
It's been amazing. The last few episodes of walking this journey with you about midlife. There's so much more we can discuss. It's not something that you can say we've concluded completely. I know we're going to revisit it, and you'll come again to Omeshare. And is it Ananda? Ananda means
Ananda.
Happiness.
Ananda means joy, happiness.
Joy, happiness in Indian.
Yes.
You know, whenever we have guests here, we always tell them, when you say Umeshare in your own tongue, mother tongue, I've always wanted to know how does that sound. Yeah,
In Kiluya.
In Kiluya.
Umeshare.
Umeshare.
Wow.
Why? No, it's a sentence.
in Kibukusu, because I mean, I have various dialects. In Kibukusu, which is my father's language, Wanire.
Wanire. Umeshare.
It's like giving.
Giving.
Given.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, both umeshare. I believe in my share. I will not pretend to pronounce that.
Waanire.
Waanire. Umewaanire. Umeshare. Amazing stories you've given us.
Thank you.
Amazing wisdom.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, you're really wise, man. I've just soaked into so much of your wisdom this episode. Come again. Yes, come again. There's a lot that we need to discuss and help our fellow age mates and peers out there across the globe, mostly even here in Kenya.
Mm-hmm. All for the glory of God.
All for the glory of God. Yeah. Listeners, you've been tuning to Umeshare Podcast, the podcast where men share openly. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Bye-bye.